With me now is Edith Massey, and she's not the kind of person most people would think of as glamorous, but since she was discovered by film director John Waters, she's become a cult star. John Waters has a reputation as being the king of sleaze, and he discovered her when she was working at a bar. He cast her first in his film Multiple Maniacs, in which she played two roles, herself and Jesus Christ's mother. In Pink Flamingos, Edie played a retarded grandmother who has a crush on the Eggman and sits in a playpen dressed in a bra and girdle eating eggs. Her last role was in Waters' film Polyester, in which she played Cuddles Kaczynski, a debutante, and in this she got to wear a tennis skirt and sweater. She had a coming-out party and married her chauffeur. For the past couple of years, Edie's had a punk act singing Connie Francis hits, Four Seasons songs, as well as originals. We'll hear a couple of these tunes in just a minute. She also still runs her thrift shop in Baltimore, which is called Edith's Shopping Bag, and it's now listed as a sight to see in the Rand McNally Tour Guide to the City of Baltimore. John Waters writes about her in his book Shock Value, and I just want to read you a little bit of what he has to say about her. He writes, although Divine has become the ultimate glamour figure in my films, Edith Massey remains the most lovable. She's the one character I use who never threatens the audience, no matter how bizarre her role. And Edie will be performing her music act tonight at the East Side Club. And this will be, the East Side Club is at 13th and Chestnut Street. She'll be performing with Evidence. The doors open at 9. And for more information, you can call 564-3343. That's 564-3343. Edie Massey, welcome back to Fresh Air. It's nice to see you.
Well, thank you. I used to live in Philadelphia.
For a couple of years?
Yes, and I had a true love here.
Oh, really?
That didn't last through, though, you know. But it's real good to be back.
Well, I'd like to play some of your music in a couple of minutes, but before we do that, tell us why you got together a punk act.
Oh, well, I've been doing, when the punk rock, you know, started out, well, John said it was good and it was funny and I should, you know, try and do it. So I got a punk act together and I made up a lot of punk songs. And, well, the kids all liked it. What can I say? You know. And, in fact, tonight I'll be singing one of the songs, Punks Get Off the Grass, that I wrote. And one of the boys in the band, Steve Longo, he wrote the music. And I know you enjoy it, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Did you ever sing before?
Well, Well, really sing, you mean no, I never did, and I never took up acting, and it's just things that seem to be coming naturally.
How do you choose your material for the band?
Well, I don't know. I've got a polyester song I made up called Polyester Girl, and I do a lot of Fever with a lot of Sophie Tucker music added to it, and I also do like... I'm a punk rocker. I do everything. I don't do just punk anymore. I just a variety. And now I made this record, and I sure hope, you know, Big Girls Don't Cry and Punks Get Off the Grass, and I hope everybody likes it.
We'll hear Punks Get Off the Grass in a few minutes, but we're going to hear Big Girls Don't Cry now. Would you tell us if this was a song that you used to like a lot?
Oh, the reason these guys came to the Whiskey Go-Go, you know, and asked me, and they saw me perform, and asked me if, I was with the Evidence, too, and they asked me if I would like to make a record, and naturally, like everybody else, I said yes, and they said, well, they wanted to do Punks Get Off the Grass. They liked it very much, and they said, what other song would you like to do with it? So John always was saying, do Big Girls Don't Cry, being that I'm a big girl. And so I did it. And it seems to be like everybody likes it, you know, so it's pretty good, I hope.
Okay, well, this is Edith Massey. Let's listen to the record.
My heart, and you made me cry. You hurt me when you were around, but now I'm back to let you know you'll never keep this big girl down.
Big girls don't only cry, nah, nah.
They don't cry.
Big girls don't only cry.
Who says they don't cry? My, oh my.
This girl
my boy we'd have to break up. I thought that he would call my bluff. When he said to my surprise, "Big girls don't cry." They don't cry.
Big girls don't cry.
Who says they don't cry?
Big girls don't cry. Big girls don't cry.
You broke my heart and you made me cry. You hurt me when you were around. But now I'm back to let you know you'll never get this big girl down. Game on you, my mama said. Game on you, you cried in bed. Game on you, you told a lie. They don't cry. That's just an alibi.
Edith Massey on one of the sides from her new single, and we'll be hearing her original piece, Punks Get Off the Grass, a little bit later. Edith, would you describe for us how you dress when you're performing?
Well, I usually wear a gown, and sometimes I wear the black suit from Female Trouble. I hate it, but I do it.
Why do you hate it?
Oh, I don't know. It shows every bulge and everything sticking out, you know. But then I guess I got a little modesty about me. But I just don't like, but everywhere I go, they say, bring your suit. So what am I going to do, you know?
How would you describe yourself for someone who hasn't seen any of your movies?
Oh, I think just fun. I don't think I'm a comedian. Like John says, he looks at me like I'm a little of Lucille Ball and Gracie Allen. And, of course, I don't see this, but John sees it, see? So I just, you know, I'm just more fun. I think that I played a mean queen, you know, in Desperate Living, but I think everybody sees through that. You know, I'm not really mean, you know. Oh, I guess I can be kind of mean and nasty, like everybody's got a little. I'm not perfect.
In Pink Flamingos, which is the film that introduced you to a lot of people,
yeah.
You were, for most of the film, wearing a bra and girdle in the playpen,
yes,
eating eggs. But in your most recent John Waters film, Polyester.
Yeah, I wore preppy clothes.
Yeah,
yeah,
you dressed like a debutante the whole time.
Yeah.
Which one did you prefer?
I think I like the last one because, you know, I've never had no experience acting. And it just seems like each one, maybe I'm getting a little better, you know. And then, too, it seemed like the first scene, it took 14 takes. Really, it was hard. But after that, it just seemed like I just sailed right through Polyester. And I was ready to do another movie if they had one for me to do. Really.
Did you, Tab Hunter was in the movie, plays opposite Divine in it.
Yeah.
Had you seen his early movies? Did you remember him from his films?
Yes, sort of, you know. But he was very nice, you know. And, you know, when he had that slight heart attack, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and so I wrote to him, and he wrote me right back with his own handwriting and everything. He was real nice. But then I was the only one in town when that happened on Channel 2 in Baltimore, and they came after me. And that just like Terry here asked me, they said, how did you like Tab Hunter? And being a rattle brain and talker, you know, chatterbox, I didn't realize what I was saying. I said, oh, he was fine. I said, we all changed our clothes in the same room. see, and then I didn't realize what I was saying. But I said, and we didn't see nothing. You know, I said, we didn't see nothing. But there was just certain sections we all changed our clothes, you know. But I just remembered that because now I think it's kind of funny, you know. But he is real nice to work with.
John Waters in his Shock Value book tells a story about when you were going out together to buy your costume for Pink Flamingos, and you had to buy a bra and girdle, and so you went out of the dressing room to model it for him, and of course the sales lady thought you were all crazy and wanted to get you out.
Well, I don't know, but I guess it's true. It sounds like something I would do, not thinking, you know. But if John put in his book, it's true.
Where'd you go to get the clothes, the tennis skirt?
Oh, that.
For polyester.
I think, I can't exactly remember, but we got some of them in the store, and my gown was made by people. I don't know how you'd say, Basque, some kind of costume place. And half of the things are in the store, you know, like my tennis outfit. And then I had to rent some boots in a costume place that were too big for me, which I was surprised they didn't squeak. You know, I stuffed them. And also, you know, just different places. But it's fun, you know, you get it all together.
Did the salespeople react funny to you when you were getting the tennis skirt?
Oh, I think, I forgot who I was with, but I think she told me I was going to play in the movie. No, they get excited. And then I meet a lot of people know me, which I'm surprised, you know.
Do you do any research for your roles, Edie?
No. I should do more for my roles because, you see, like in polyester, you know, like Divine told me, see, I study so hard I'm afraid I'm not going to get the words right, you know, and I don't want to be the one to make mistakes, but I make them. And Divine tells me that, see, while I'm studying it, I should learn about the props because it's the props that throw me, see.
You mean because you're not used to...
Like Divine, I had to pick her up, you know. And I'm pretty heavy, but I'm kind of feminine. I don't have that strength, you know. And I would just, you know, I would get off of what I had to say because it's so hard to pick up, you know, instead of practicing. But next time I'm going to try to do both so I'd be smarter, you know.
Divine is a man who appears as a woman in most of Waters' films and has a transvestite club act. Do you relate to Divine as a man or a woman?
I call him Devi. Everybody calls him Devi that really knows him. And I guess like a woman in a way. But Divine is like a man when he's on the street. And he don't like to dress in women's clothes. He hates them. Well, everything's so tight, and he always has to shave and shave the hair off his chest. And it just, you know, I guess I would get aggravated, too, you know.
Well, you dress differently from your act, too, when you're not performing.
Oh, yeah. I look like a bum when I'm on stage, you know. But I'd rather be myself. I'm not a bum, but I'd rather just be comfortable, you know.
Let's talk a little bit about your background. You were raised in an orphanage.
Yeah. I was raised in Denver, Colorado.
And then you ran away?
No, they put me out to work, you know, and they told me that the people were going to make, you know, I was going to be part of the family. Instead, I turned out to be like Cinderella, you know, work. Well, it wasn't the work, it was an attitude, I guess. And so I ran away from there. And I went to California. You know, I was movie crazy then.
What'd you do when you got there?
Well, I sold pencils, razor blades in a cubbyhole. Until, if you see the story of my life, you know, it's called Love Letter to Edie, then you realize. And this girl worked in this club, and she came and said, is this all you can do? Then I was really a cutie, you know. I said, no, I can tap dance. And she took me to the club, and I got a job right away. That one day, because even though I was chubby, I was cute, you know, pretty and young and whatever.
It was a strip club, right?
No, it was, it wasn't a strip club exactly. They had hula dancers, and one time I had a fight with the hula dancer, and I pulled her clothes off and, you know, or stuff like that. I've had my share of, you know, things. I'm not, want people to think I'm perfect, because I'm not, you know, but... That's what anybody, we all have gone through different things, you know. But I've worked in strip joints, yeah. But I've never been a stripper. I've always been a tap dancer or a barmaid.
You've had a thrift shop for several years in Baltimore.
I've had a thrift shop for 13 years, but I've had one for 10. 10 of it has been down Fells Point, which is building up tremendous.
Yeah, how has the neighborhood changed since you've been there?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not going to say I love it better. It's more fancier. But, honey, when I was there in the 70s and all, I loved it. All those hippies and everything were great. Don't let nobody ever tell you different. And John was one, too. They treated me all good. And guys would come, you know, when I was a barmaid, guys would come down from the colleges just to take me home, make sure I got home at night and everything. Nothing bad. I loved them then.
Why don't we listen to the flip side of the record heard before? Before we heard Big Girls Don't Cry, now we're going to hear your original song. Tell us about how you wrote it.
Let me tell you. See, I had a promoter, and I was breaking up with the promoter, and I just didn't want to use none of his material, you know, because I want, you know, to be right. But there was one song he wrote for me, and I was with Gina, the go-go girl drummer, and I had all-girl band, and we played this at the Warfield in California, San Francisco. Well, anyway, it went like every time the music would stop, I would say, "Hey, mister, how about a shot of dope?" And everybody would laugh, you know, and cheer and laugh. So I said, well, I got to think of a song on that order. And so I came up with Punks Get Off the Grass. And everybody sings it, you know, Punks Get Off the Grass and cheer, and they all like it. And I hope you all like it, too.
Well, let's hear it. And this is Edith Massey, Punks Get Off the Grass.
You just blow my mind. You're all just one of a kind, going nowhere real fast. Hey, punks, get off the grass. Who in the hell do you think you are? I'm Queen of Punk, and you better know who you really are. Going nowhere real fast. Hey, punks, get off the grass. Talking to me, you don't see what you can be, going nowhere real fast. Don't you see, going nowhere real fast. Hey, punk, get off the grass. Punks like you just blow my mind. You're all just one of a kind, going nowhere real fast. Going nowhere real fast. You heard me, punk. Get off the grass.
Edie, how did you lose most of your teeth? Do you mind my asking?
Well, I hate dentists. I don't hate them personally. I'm not talking about the people. I hate going to a dentist, you know, because I don't know, that drilling, it used to work on my nerves, see. But one time I fell. And I hit, just like I fell here a while ago. I'm so careless. No, I didn't hurt myself. I just, you know. Okay. But anyway, I fell on my face. And it cracked some of the teeth, see. And, well, I would have got, but John said no. He says he said it was all right, but no, he told me don't get because the fans liked it. So I would have got teeth sooner, but now I'm going to have them in the next one. But it cracked my teeth and, you know, it ruined them, of course. And like I said, I just can't. I have to go to dentist to get some teeth, but I'm going to do that because in the next movie, John says I can have teeth. And I'm going to be a Shakespearean actress and also a Shakespearean teacher, and Divine's going to be triplets. So you can imagine how that's going to go.
That sounds like fun.
Oh, it's going to be funny, sure. I could never do Shakespeare.
Are you anxious to get some teeth so you can eat different foods?
Well, yeah, I think I'd like to have teeth, too. And so I like everybody that, you know, how do they say, a little vanity. I look younger. You know, I'll be looking younger, you know. Because, see, they wrote, nobody knows how old I am. And they wrote, 60-year-old lady eats 200 eggs and lives to tell about it.
You don't like to tell people your age?
Well, it used to be fun. They'd say, how old are you, Edie? And I'd say, old enough to know better, young enough to resist. Oh, I don't mind people know really how old, but then, see, it kind of, I haven't got that to say no more. See, and it's fun, you know, even though I will say it some more, but, you know. And people laugh, and they, like one girl said, I knew you were going to say that, you know. So, see, it takes away from the fun of it.
So you're starting to read Shakespeare now in preparation for the next one?
No, not yet. He could change his mind, you know. This is his ideas, and I had something to talk about anyway. And he might change his mind. Who knows, you know.
That was Edith Massey and her band, Punks Get Off the Grass. That was a lot of fun. I like the record.
Thank you, hon.
You were a really interesting mix of modesty and of, you know, having, like, seen it all and been around all different kinds of joints and people.
I don't know. I'm not one to judge anybody. I think if it's your way of living and if you can do it, I think, all right. I don't think you have to do anything you don't want to do. That's up to you.
So you were comfortable working in strip joints?
Oh, what else did I know? I come from a home, and the glitter and the glamour was new to me, see? And I still got it in me. I can't seem to change. I love to travel, and I love the glamour of things. I love people. I really love the people. The only one I don't care about is people who do me personally wrong, you know. But otherwise, I love everybody, and I wish everybody would love each other, too. Wouldn't have these wars and stuff.
What are your favorite movies?
I liked Polyester. I thought was good. And I like John's movies. You know, there's a lot of things in John's movies I don't like. I just put my head down. I have my way. But I'll tell you, the one I really liked that I thought was really good was The Music Lovers. That I with Richard Chamberlain. This has been a long time ago I saw that. And then sometimes I like stuff like this De Niro, you know, in Taxi Driver, you know. I don't know, I have a variety of tastes. Same with music. I don't like screaming music. You know, real high-pitched scream. I like light opera. I really do. I love ballet. I love dancing. I love all that kind of stuff. I used to be quite a dancer, you know. And John, in fact, bought me a pair of tap shoes.
Oh, what kind of records do you listen to now?
Oh, I sit in my shop all the time, and I just listen to a variety of records, you know. Well, you know, I was on the album cover of John Cougar. Did you know that?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He's got the number one record.
Yeah, but I wasn't on that. It was the one before, and I'm on his videotape. The one before. This time, I'm really, really in love.
Is that the record, or is that how you feel?
Is
that the record?
That's the record. This time, I'm really, really in love with John Cougar. And that was just before this one. And I'm on his videotape. Also, you know, the Go-Go's, Gina Schock, I told you, was my drummer. And I know all the Go-Go's. So, just to know that I know the Go-Go's, you know. And like Blondie made the music for Polyester. And her and I did a punk magazine together, the Mutilated Beach Party with Joe Ramone. Yeah, I know all of them.
You know how a lot of movie stars are just so preoccupied with how they look all the time, there was dieting. Did you ever diet?
Honey, I lost 100 pounds twice, 30, 40, 50. I still lose and I gain it back, but not because I'm a movie star. I did it way before I was a movie star. I lost all that weight. It just, you know, like I'm thinking of going on a diet now if I can only get started. You know, I can't seem to get started.
Why would you want to lose weight?
Well, to walk better, to get around, because I walk, you know, I walk like a geisha girl, you know, and I hate that, you know. Of course, I'm getting older, but, you know, like just to get to walk better and to feel better, I guess. Well, I don't feel bad. It just, you know what I mean.
Did anybody ever try to steal from your shop?
Oh, yeah, but that's not, especially kids do that. I have grab bags, and they all think I got something special in it, and I really don't. It's stuff that don't sell, I put some in. You know, and just little things, just to have people stop. Oh, yeah.
Does it bother you when they steal?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you try to stop them?
Huh?
Do you try to stop them?
Well, a lot of times, like, bigger people steal, too, and you don't see it. You know, I don't mean only the children. Don't worry. Plenty of big people. Well, I try to remember, you know, the ones that do, and try not to let them in again. Oh, yeah. But I think that happens in all businesses.
Yeah, but it's hard, isn't it, to keep people out? Because you think that maybe they stole something the last time.
Yeah, and you've got
to act
sure,
really tough.
Yeah.
Is it easy for you to act tough enough to keep people out?
Well, I'm not tough. I just, like kids, I tell them you got to be 18 to be in there. Unless I really know them, you know. Yeah, it's the kids' more problem, you know.
So now that you're famous, how do you try to use your publicity and keep your image the way you want it?
Well, I don't know how to answer that. I am just myself, and I like people to think of me just as a person. I have nothing to put my nose up in the air for. I'm just an ordinary person, and I kind of like it like that because I like to go in the clubs and sit around next to the people. I don't like to go right away into a dressing room and hide. I like to be among the people. Most of the time I do it. Sometimes I have to go in the dressing room, because they tell me to. But most of the time I just go into the club and sit down, and before I know it, I got people surrounding me.
John Water says you charge $5 to anyone who wants to come to your birthday party.
Yeah, I charge $5. But then I have musicians. You know, I have other bands playing. I have a guy tap dances. I have one guy that plays piano that I hope to, looks like Liberace, that I hope to have him do an act with me. I'm not sure he's going to be in the movie, but John said maybe. And I also, I have a girl, an older lady, that loves to play cowboy music, and she never gets to play, so I have her every birthday. And then the club's band, and I've got to pay them all, see. So I charge $5, you know.
I get the impression that people talk to you all the time and that you probably end up giving advice a lot.
They do, but really, who am I to give advice? You know, I'm divorced, and I might tell somebody, you know, like that's having a problem with their fella or girl, you know, or a guy having problems. I tell him, well, don't worry, you'll meet somebody else or this or that. But I am not one that can give advice because what do I have? My house ain't. Well, I tell, like, kids that want to be a movie star or, you know, in the entertainment world, not to give up their job, but just go ahead and try and do things, you know, what they like to do, but not to give up their job, you know, because you know what I'm saying, you
yeah.
know, you should never give your job up. You should just go ahead and, you know, go to auditions and stuff and do it on the side until, if you're lucky to become, you know.
So has anybody else asked you to be in movies besides Waters?
Well, there are some people in California that are going to make a TV movie. And I just got back from California. I was there 2 months. And they're going to make a TV movie about three ladies, and they want me to be one of the ladies. Then on New Year's, I'm going to be in Minneapolis at the Upper Deck Club. And the guy there is making a movie, also wants me in it. And he already asked me. It's not going to be a big part in that one. It's going to be like a cameo. See, but, you know, I had a manager in California and everything, and he wanted to get me what they signed, you know, the Screen Guild or something. Yeah, but I told him no, because I want to do more shows with John. And once you get in the union, I guess you can't do with everything you want. And I kind of like to be free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm not in a hurry for it. I'd like to get a nice agent, but I'm not in a hurry for it, you know.
So you don't have an agent now?
No. I just get my jobs, and I have a kind of like a manager in California and stuff like that. But I've been getting jobs lately. And when my record comes out, wow, you better all watch out. I hope. I hope, you know.
You'd like to get a lot of radio airplay?
Oh, yeah. I do a lot of, you know, like in Baltimore, 98 Rock plays it, and Howard Stern, when he was in Washington, played it, and I was on his program. He was fun. Did you ever hear of him? Now he's in New York, $100,000 a year.
Really?
Radio. He was on radio in the morning in Washington. Ain't that great?
Yeah.
Dreams. Okay.
So listen, now, you do a lot of Connie Francis numbers in your act, right?
I don't do any of Connie Francis now, but I used to. I used to do Lipstick on Your Collar, and I've done a lot. I do Glen Campbell sometime, Rhinestone Cowboy. I always say, I'm going to dedicate to this song to a friend of mine, Glen Campbell. I never met him, but I say it anyway. The kids like it. It sounds like, say yay, you know. And I've done a lot. I've done Judy Garland's Over the Rainbow, and I even put pigtails and socks on and everything, you know. Foolish, but did it anyway. Oh, I try all different songs. Tonight I'll be doing Polyester Girl, Evidence, and Vicious, a song called Vicious, and Big Girls Don't Cry, and Punks Get Off the Grass, and a few more, and The Fever, and, you know, I think everybody will like it, yeah.
Edie, thanks a lot for being here. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you.